I can't believe I just drank that again! Your water tastes like zombie takeout!
Welcome to episode 34 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And this week we have sort of an impromptu departure. We didn't decide on this until after we recorded last week.
We decided, wouldn't it be great to do a double Shakespeare?
Yes. We found another movie that is a modernization of a Shakespearean play. And a quick good one. In this case, it is Scotland, P.A.,
it involves more slapstick Shakespearean murders.
Mm-hmm. much darker humor, not as broad. And I gotta say, Macbeth is my favorite. So
it is, and I guess we'll get into our relationship with the Macbeth play. Mm-hmm. I know you can't say it's bad luck to say the word Scottish in a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just call it the Macbeth
play. Yeah, I got a story about that later when we get into it. Just a short little anecdote.
I think our stories with this play may take up most of this podcast more so than the movie, actually.
Well, I only have one little anecdote. But before we get to that, it is time for Scotto's impromptu plot summary, brought to you by the Witch's Brew Tavern.
Yes, for all your Witch's Brew and alcoholic needs and fortune-telling experiences. Please visit the Witch's Brew.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow, I got it easy again this week. Say in freshman year of high school, there was this play you had to read mm-hmm. called Macbeth. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And there is no real... There's no... Unlike Tromeo that had that little extra at the end, there's no... In terms of the story, there's no deviation.
Minus the woods of Burnham Forest.
The woods of the woods of Dunsinane.
Burnham, right? Dunsinane, right.
No, the Dunsinane was a castle. Burnham Wood.
It was Burnham, okay.
You were right. Burnham Wood. Not real, really. And the whole man not of woman born thing they didn't touch on.
Yeah, what a great scene.
They cut a few things. They didn't extend it. There's no if you know the play, you know what happens in the movie.
Well, right. They what they did was they cut it shorter, which
of course.
Yeah, you have for to. A movie, you have to. No one's gonna say, hey, why didn't they have him go back to the witches, you know, a couple times instead of just the one?
Which we know from personal experience, the TAS fans know what we're talking about.
Well, yeah. If you've read the play, or if you've heard the episode Wrath of John from the Tuesday Afternoon
Show. Yes.
You know the plot of this story.
19 bloody hours of editing. Anyway.
Oh, man. Well, I think we have to tell that story a little bit, too.
Okay.
I mean, that we have a relationship with this script.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes.
This is something we've, you know...
I actually
for
forgot
years
about
we've
that.
We've gone back
now.
And forth with this.
Mm-hmm. For a couple of years before we started Zombie Takeout, we did a comedy podcast called the Tuesday Afternoon Show.
Right.
And we had a tradition, well, sort of a tradition. We only did it twice, of taking somebody else's work and adapting it with our characters for our April Fool's Day show.
Right. This was the first April Fool's Day show, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes,
right?
It was.
Because we never would have done something like this.
We did Macbeth.
Right.
With funny voices.
Right. It was like the Muppet Show performs Macbeth.
Pretty much.
So just picture that in your head. It's still available for download somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, TuesdayAfternoonShow.com. The site's still up. Everything's still there.
Why not give ourselves a plug for some of our old backstory
episode
work?
Episode 19, if I recall correctly.
Is that what it was? Well, just...
I believe
just
so.
I just remember the episode title after you flipped out. I said, I know what we call this one, because we were doing Star Wars parodies for every episode title, but
right.
This is the first one we varied off that. The Wrath of John.
Four recording sessions, the episode was 2 hours long, or 2.5?
It was insane. And it was the entire play. We hardly cut any. I only cut a couple of minor scenes from it,
and
that was it.
I spent 19 hours in total editing it.
So it
which
was,
I'm still not over, obviously.
It was the two of us doing the majority of the characters except for one. We actually had my friend, my poor friend Melissa, a real actress, come in and do the part of Lady Macbeth straight.
Mm-hmm.
So there were all of us doing the crazy voices, the little crab guy, you know, just all sorts
Yoda,
of fantasy.
Geddy Lee.
Yoda, Geddy Lee. Was that the one where I worked Michael Jackson in?
I believe so, yeah. We worked every possible voice we could do into that.
I did a Michael Jackson impression, and I did it in iambic pentameter, like he was singing Man in the Mirror. Oh, what good times. Anyway.
And then just the other little anecdote I was talking about. Back in college, Scott and I were involved in a student theater company. In fact, that's where we met.
Right.
And I had a tradition. I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you. I never really talked about it.
I think I do remember something about the Macbeth play.
Well, every time, you know, at the end of rehearsals, when the cafeteria was actually set up for the performance, I would make a point of walking in and saying Macbeth.
I thought you had to scream it or something, no?
No, I just said it very quietly.
That's why all of our productions are cursed. Now I know.
It's all my fault.
But anyway, there is a link between the two. We were trying to put together a comedy troupe there in the late 90s between Tuesday Afternoon Show and all of the theater groups that we were involved with. And I was working on The Tragedy of Habib Macbeth. Do you remember that?
Oh, vaguely. Yes, yes, yes. Now that you mention it.
This was around 97, 98, I think?
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember if it was after we did the movie theater thing. It might have been.
It was around the same. I think it was just after.
Right. So we were trying to get together a comedy troupe.
Comedy troupe, kind of a la Python.
And the skit I was working on was called Habib Macbeth. It was about an Indian convenience store worker who is driven by his wife to become manager of the Quickie Mart, of course.
Which really isn't bringing things back around. Not really that far from Scotland, PA.
Well, right. And
insert
in both
fast food place for convenience store, and that's Scotland, PA.
Right. So when this movie first came out, the cursing I did was... That's mine! That was mine! Yeah, yeah. I was like the crazy homeless guy, just going, you know, I wrote that! In fact, we should look at the writers here, make sure it was nobody we were hanging out with back then.
Yeah.
Who might have overheard any of
it. It was written by the director, Billy Morissette. Or I should say, adapted by Billy Morissette.
Because, I mean, in both Habib Macbeth and The Wrath of John, the three witches were played by
stoners, yes.
By stoners. So, just to see Andy Dick and Amy Smart and that other dude,
Speed Levitch.
I can never remember.
Speed Levitch.
I just like, that was mine.
and you got I'm glad you brought that up, because you've just covered two of my discussion points here. I gotta say this is Andy Dick's best work.
No way.
I gotta say, because he doesn't do his shtick. The scene where he's saying, you know, it's not, you know, 1,000 years ago that would have worked, but nowadays you can't just go around killing people. He was actually acting. He wasn't being Andy Dick.
We've had, and I agree that's good. That was a very good scene. We've had disagreements here, but I think those are the biggest fighting words that you could come up with, because was he really better than freaking Cage?
Freaking Cage was... Mark was funnier. I will give you that. But he was being Andy Dick when he played Mark.
But he's Freaking Cage.
But he was doing his same old shtick. The writing was good. It was arguably... I mean, it was funnier because, you know, he was the opposite Brent Spiner.
He was kind of a Python guy bit there about, you know, pain and suffering.
But... So I'm not saying this is his funniest performance at all. Mark from Dude, Where's My Car? Definitely beats that out. That is my favorite performance of his. I'm saying this is his best acting, and possibly his only acting.
Okay.
That
I
is
mean,
my point.
We wouldn't want to have an argument because that would just bore people listening. Confuse people. People arguing over movies? Well, people arguing over the better Andy Dick performance. Where are you going to hear that? Nowhere.
True. This is true.
Eat it, Ebert. Eat it. Oh, sorry, you can't. Now,
it's not like we were arguing over whether or not Travolta was good in a particular movie.
Oh, do we have to bring up Travolta?
No, I was just going back to that.
Right.
The last real argument I can recall.
Can we lay off the battlefield just one episode?
That?
That's the last bad movie we've done. So I guess we've had to like bring that up.
We've had a string of really good ones. So.
Yes, we have. I think after this episode, we need to bring in the pain.
Yeah.
That's another story.
Yeah, we'll discuss that all on. I also want to point out, they kept the names for the most part in this movie, which I was very impressed with.
That was awesome.
Macbeth, Macduff, Duncan. They changed Banquo to Banco, short for Banconi.
Well, yeah, that was perfect, because who's called Banquo?
Exactly. Malcolm Donald Bain just became Donald.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's all you needed, Don, you know, whatever.
They just should have dropped that his middle name was Bane. I think that would have been a nice touch.
Or McBain. Simpsons joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess you don't really have to say Simpsons joke when you make a Simpsons joke.
No.
If you haven't seen it, where are you in Al-Qaeda?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was the impromptu plot summary, and
we're still there. Okay,
personal history,
on.
Of course, with with the show Macbeth. I'm sorry, the Macbeth play.
Yes.
Now
I will say I think the movie is better if you know the play.
Oh, definitely.
Because I noticed some comments on IMDb. There are some people who really don't get it, didn't like it, thought it was horrible, and I think most of them have said that they don't know the play.
Which is just insane.
And while I was watching it, I was trying to imagine, you know, if I had no idea what Macbeth was about, would I like this movie? And I don't know if I would have.
I don't know. That's like saying, if I never saw the movie Star Wars before, would I still enjoy it? You know, I mean, that's like saying, you know, just suppose, you know, that we were living on Mars and...
Yeah.
How do you not know what Macbeth is?
Yeah, I think you'd be surprised.
Well, if not, and I know the education system's where it's at, but I mean, for crack's sake, just read it.
Well, yeah. You can find it free online, just any Shakespeare, please, just read.
Right.
The more you know. It's turning into a PSA here. Let's get back to the review.
And personally... This is my favorite work of Shakespeare,
mm-hmm.
bar none.
Absolutely.
I mean, Hamlet was a whiny little bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And
Romeo and Juliet was stolen.
Right. This of course is stolen too from
everything Shakespeare pretty much stole. But
the writing on this, the scenes that he puts together, just amazing. Now
mm-hmm.
some of those aren't in this, of course.
Of course.
You know, there's just so much going on there, though, and it's just such a great story. It is his best work. And don't even get me started on the comedies, because you can watch an episode of Three's Company and pretty much get the same bit there.
Or any Molière or what have you.
Right.
Although, I gotta say, I am partial to Titus for the body count alone.
Which movie was that they had the body count running for?
Oh, Killer Tomatoes, I think?
Yeah, maybe. They could do that in Titus. Those guys will get together and do Titus.
Mm-hmm. Or Trauma. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, Trauma.
Speaking of Trauma, there was a little nod. Wow, that worked well. There was a little nod to Trauma, I think.
People are going to start thinking we rehearsed this or something.
Duncan was killed by a Fryolator, having his head stuck into a Fryolator.
Right.
Which also happened in Toxie.
You know, I was thinking about that, about the whole corn dog hand thing. Like, where have I seen this before?
As soon as I saw that, because it's been a while since I've seen the movie, I'd forgotten about it. And as soon as his head went in, actually, when they had him set up next to it, threatening him, I just thought of Toxie.
I'd forgotten all about that, but yeah, you are right. And there definitely is a connect. These two movies are definitely bookends, you know? They're both, you know, you know, taking the text and just running with it.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, I guess that brings us to how they cast it. The cast itself. The star, I was like, who the hell is that for the whole movie? It was kind of distracting. I mean, I've seen this
James
before.
LaGrosse, yeah. I've seen him in a few things. I don't really know him for anything in particular.
I mean, I've seen this movie before, actually, some years ago, of course, for, I guess, self torture. Scott, you had a great idea and never went to get it published. Look, it bombed anyway, so
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to have gotten Christopher Walken. So
True.
I mean, and really, you can't go wrong with that guy.
No.
You really can't. In fact, I would be willing to say this movie would not have worked nearly as well if there was another actor in McDuff's role there.
Yeah, it would have been a little too serious.
I think he just pulls it together. There is one actor I could think of that could take this, but I guess we're kind of crisscrossing our usual,
Yeah, but okay.
remake thing. But this wouldn't have been a remake. This would have been someone they would have had to have casted here and now.
Right.
And I'm surprised you haven't already said it. But Hopkins, of course.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while, you know.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, yeah, I hadn't thought about it till you just brought it up. But yeah, Walken is kind of the dude's rug of the movie.
He,
He
yes.
pulls it together.
Wow, I was just going to do something lame and said the glue, but you go Lebowski on me. Damn. That was clever. Have you been getting like full night's sleep and shit?
No.
Lucky you.
You said he pulled it together. I just went to the dude's rug. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, the rest of the cast, they're good. Nothing against any of the performances. None
No.
of them are bad, but they're just kind of blah.
It would have been too out there, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird that Walken's the guy that kind of brings it down to earth, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
He because well, he is that guy. He's the outsider, you know, if you're out, you know, just looking at this story on face value, he's the guy who's sane, who's not from this little small town, going, "What is wrong with these people?"
Right.
And even though he's
Which is a
driving
perfect
the
role for a walk-in.
Yet he's driving the German car and listening to, what was that he was listening
Meditation
to?
tapes.
Oh yeah, I thought it was some sort
One
of.
of which had, I think, and this had to be intentional, the only sort of reference to the original text. Because unlike Tromeo, there's no quotes from the original text, none of it's in iambic pentameter. But on one of the meditation tapes, it says, "Tomorrow is tomorrow."
Oh, you know, I didn't catch that. But I mean, I
Which.
caught tomorrow's tomorrow, but I forgot that was from the actual text.
Well, it had to be a reference to tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace, yada yada. I'm not going to do the whole speech. The tomorrow and tomorrow speech.
There are references to the text, or actually not references, but quotes from the text.
There are.
In the very beginning, the
Oh,
stoners
yeah, the
on the
witches at the
Ferris
beginning,
wheel.
yeah. Sort of reference
Fair is
references.
foul, and foul is
The
fair,
fair
and
is
the.
foul, the fair is fair, yes.
Yeah, and the, yeah, they kind of.
They
Say what
they
was.
play with it a bit.
Yeah. Other than that, though, then no.
Hmm.
She didn't do the out damn spot thing.
No, which is a pr well, it wasn't. It, well, it, yeah, technically was a spot. I mean, they could have gotten
Which
away with it.
was brilliant. Instead of blood, like in the original text, where
Well,
she's trying to wash the stain off,
they didn't cut him. They didn't draw any blood, so it couldn't have been blood.
she gets burned by some grease,
From
some
the
oil
fry
from the
later that his
fryer.
head is dunked into, yes.
Awesome.
And that becomes the blood spot.
Right, that she goes to the pharmacy to get ointment for, and this whole movie was kind of a news radio kind of reunion there.
Really?
Well, Maura Tierney,
Tierney and Andy Dick, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Andy Dick, there. I think the pharmacist was from news
Okay.
radio. Yeah. They kind of all. I think David Foley would have been a really awesome Macbeth if you think about it.
Actually, could have been good Macbeth. He could have pulled off Macduff. He might have been interesting. I
Walken.
mean, not better than Walken, but he would have been interesting.
You know, it, there's just something about walking, listening to those tapes.
Yeah.
And talking about vegetarianism, and I mean, just McDuff's a vegetarian. Awesome.
Baba Ganoush?
Right. When they mentioned Baba Ganoush, I was kind of like, wait, what? Back in 70 what? So, yeah, we revisit the planet 1970.
Yes.
And
although,
almost pull that off, believably. Yeah, there's a couple things where you're just kind of like, yeah, really?
You can tell it wasn't shot in the 70s because it doesn't feel like another planet.
Right.
They do the best. There's a lot of period cars, but and I think it has to do with the film stock or something. You can tell it's modern.
Yeah. Well, there's just something about the overall, you know, how a lot of the extras are dressed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you have costume 70s versus
the real
how
thing,
people
yeah.
really dressed back then.
True.
It's easy to spot once you've seen a number of movies from
back
then.
Yeah, true.
So where does this bring us to?
Well, I just
kind
of
all over the place.
Was one other thing I wanted to mention that we didn't naturally get to.
Sure.
The McDuff's logo, or Macbeth's logo. I'm sorry. For his fast food place, the Big M,
is just like a chain restaurant out here in the Midwest, mostly called Mr. Submarine.
Really?
Yes. Very much like it. We had a friend.
I was thinking McDonald's.
Well, right.
I think it was maybe an intentional McDonald's reference, and maybe an inadvertent Mr. Submarine reference.
I don't know. That M, if you look
it's very
the
close,
logo,
so maybe Billy
it is
Morris.
Almost on spot. Someone,
maybe Billy Morris said it's from the Midwest, then.
A friend of ours refers to it as Angry McDonald's, because the M is kind of has that
yeah, it's
shape,
that,
and
it's
red.
It's squared off and red, yeah.
Right. It looks a lot like that.
Mm-hmm. I just have a bit of trivia next.
Sure.
There really is a Scotland, PA.
I thought there was, yeah.
It's southwest of Harrisburg on the outskirts of Chambersburg, according to Wikipedia. Also, first thing I think you'll notice about this movie, for the first half hour, all you hear is Bad Company. Turns out that Billy Morissette used their music because, as he put it, the catalog was surprisingly cheap to buy.
Oh, that's sad.
Which is, yeah, it is sad, because, I mean, I am a bit of a Bad Company fan, and, yeah, that is a bit depressing.
Hey, they're not a bad band or anything, you know? I mean, so I don't get it. Yeah, this is Billy Morissette's only writing, directing credit.
Really?
Which is very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And did not know this, but he was married
to Maura Tierney
at the time.
And another bit of trivia there. Pat Macbeth, Maura Tierney's character's line, fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, was written into the script because there was one incident where she yelled that at him when he startled her. Maura Tierney actually yelled that at him.
Yeah, I thought that was
And he was writing the movie at the time, so he just threw that in.
I thought that was a modern phrase, you know.
Mm.
Something that, you know, I was like, wow,
wouldn't have
they
happened
were saying
in the
that
70s,
back
no.
in 2001. Kind of.
Also, there is a director cameo. Billy Morissette is the guy walking his dog at the beginning.
Okay.
And I think that, oh, one last bit of trivia. The oven mitt that she uses.
Yeah,
The tartan on it was Clan Macbeth.
Yes, I caught that.
You did, okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the tartan, so I was like, oh, that's good.
That was a nice touch.
Right.
So what's next? We have the sequels and remakes?
Sequels, of course.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, you can't really do a sequel to a Shakespeare play.
No.
And, of course, we'll discuss that when we do another Shakespeare movie about doing a sequel to a Shakespeare play.
Well, yeah.
Hint, hint. a remake, though. You know what? Just get the cast from that 70s show.
Interesting.
You know, Red as...
as Duncan.
As Duncan.
Topher Grace as Macbeth, I can see that.
Yeah, or... I get Topher Grace as Macbeth. You could just do the whole thing
Danny
right
Masterson
there.
Is Macduff. Hyde.
Right. You get a Tommy Chong in there somewhere.
Of course. He'd be the one of the witches.
Who would Kelso play?
Banquo.
Okay.
Just to see, I just want to see Ashton Kutcher get killed on screen.
Well, that was kind of disappointing that he didn't really get killed on screen.
Well, yeah, true.
That's a pretty good actor, by the way, that played Banquo.
Yeah.
If you remember the show Titus.
Oh.
He was
on Titus?
I believe it was Titus.
Okay. Kevin Corrigan, that's his name. I had to think for a minute.
I may be having my crazy Fox shows mixed up, though. It might have been...
Because I know him from a show called Grounded for Life.
It was Grounded for Life that I was thinking of.
Yeah,
with
Donald Logue,
Titus last night. But no, he was the best character on Grounded for Life, actually.
Yeah.
Kind of the ex-con. Mm-hmm. And he did that before that show, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the only thing he's known for is really Grounded for Life. I mean, he's done various other small roles, but...
So that's the only thing I could see for a remake.
Yeah.
That and, of course, Hopkins as Macduff.
Of course. And I'm all for updates of Shakespeare. There have been many. Richard III comes to mind.
Well, you could also do this at a convenience store with
But this particular, and which is kind of a remake, is kind of pointless to really discuss, it occurs to me, because it would just be another update of Macbeth.
Well, yeah. But we're just talking here.
Yeah.
There's no crime against that, man.
True. So I think we're up to brains.
Yes, we are. And, wow, the dilemma again this week. I mean, I love this movie and everything. And, I mean, yeah, I guess there were some parts where I was kind of, like, drifting off a little bit in it. But, I mean, they had to do it for the story, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's something I would definitely see again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I have. You know, I've watched this many years ago, but, you know, it's my second go-around with this.
Likewise.
And I could definitely see myself doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see this again as one of those movies where I'd be like,
no.
Dude, gotta watch this over and over again.
This is very different from Toxie, because when I saw Toxie, I wanted to see it again right after we recorded that show.
Right.
And I wanted to watch it again after I edited the show, because just hearing us talk about it, I wanted to see it again.
Right.
This, I'll watch again someday. So what are you going with?
I'm going with Four Brains. I'm giving this equal treatment to our last Shakespeare outing. I think they're both great movies. You could see them back to back in a double feature at a movie theater. It'd be awesome.
I'm going to go four as well. I'm going to take it down a little bit. Because, like I said, I didn't have that urge to see it again. And then my problem is, it was just kind of flat to me. It didn't really pull me in, and it wasn't something where it was screamingly funny or really intense.
No, this movie is not an intense movie whatsoever.
And it wasn't,
that's the point, though, kind of.
And it wasn't, like, screamingly funny either.
Yeah, if you aren't familiar with the play, and I'm not willing to concede that they're people that should be walking around not familiar with the play Macbeth. I don't know if I'm quite ready to do that yet. I mean, I could just lock myself in my room right now and not come out then if I'm ready to do that. But yeah, you'd be lost if you weren't familiar with it.
Yeah, you wouldn't enjoy it. So if
it
you
just
want,
means you should be.
Well, that's the thing. If you want to see this, and if you've heard us talk about it, and you feel the urge to see this movie, go rent Macbeth first, or read it. Actually, yeah, you should read it. No, I'm not talking the cheap versions. I'm talking, you know, go for the Olivier, if you're gonna watch it. And it
there's
is
a number of good versions out there.
And it is a play. It should be watched.
Yeah.
You've made that point in the past.
Of course.
You know, the dialogue is meant to be spoken. So, you know, rent the Olivier version, I would go with, because it's Olivier.
You know, I don't think I've ever seen the Olivier version.
Or, you know, go for one of those classics. I'm actually a fan, not sure if he ever did it.
Yeah.
He had to have done it, though. But, you know, go for top end. Don't go for a cheap version. Top shelf on this one. And then see Scotland, PA, so you get it.
It is worth getting the joke, though. It is definitely worth coming back for. I'm surprised you're giving it a four, though, if you found it so flat.
Well, but the problem is, and this is, I had to think about this a lot, because I'm watching it, and I couldn't find a flaw, but I wasn't enjoying it as much as I should have been. You know, I can't nitpick it. I can't say there are any flaws. The performances are solid. The writing, everything is good. It just didn't pull me in. Which I guess is part and parcel to the style of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a trauma film, of course. This is, in fact, I was thinking this is almost unfair because it's not B at all.
No.
This is a top-notch production.
It's kind of cult.
It's right, only because it's bombed.
And it's very indie. It's got a very indie feel. It's kind of cultish.
Right. But, I mean, with this cast here...
Mm-hmm. Nothing big, no. I mean, with Walken.
Right. And, yeah, Walken alone. If it wasn't for Walken...
Yeah, nobody else is really huge.
No.
Yeah, they're known, they're working actors. They're known actors, but they're not... Nobody who you... Actually, in most cases, you probably wouldn't even know their names aside from Andy Dick and maybe Maura Tierney if you're familiar with talk radio, with news radio.
Right. I mean, but these are slacker, stoner drunks, you know, who play Yahtzee. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's not supposed to be anybody that's going to zip out at you, you know?
It's true, yeah. Walken is the one who's supposed to draw your attention.
Exactly. He's Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
What more do you need to know?
Exactly.
If it wasn't for Hopkins, I think he would be the guy I'd be talking about putting in every movie, because there isn't a single movie that could not use Christopher Walken in it.
Christopher Walken is the cowbell of actors.
Right, exactly. And I think somebody even put that out that it needs more Christopher Walken.
Yeah. I knew I ripped that off from somewhere.
But Citizen Kane, Christopher Walken. Mm. The Godfather, Christopher Walken. Put him in any movie.
Yeah.
Luke, I am your father?
Yes.
So,
what did we learn?
What have we learned? Always handle a deep fryer with very extra caution. Wear gloves.
And I learned that Bed Company made some great music. So, until next week, go to zombietakeout.com. We got the album art, the episode descriptions, links to the Facebook group, Twitter account, links to subscribe. It also appears that YouTube embeds are once again working on WordPress, so I will have clips.
Huzzah.
in this posting, and I'll put them in the previous view that I didn't put them in. And until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Macbeth.
Right.
With funny voices.
Right. It was like the Muppet Show performs Macbeth.
Pretty much.
So just picture that in your head. It's still available for download somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, TuesdayAfternoonShow.com. The site's still up. Everything's still there.
Why not give ourselves a plug for some of our old backstory
episode 19, if I recall correctly.